everyone. This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar here at the Exit Inn in Nashville, Tennessee. God is an Astronaut, phenomenal instrumental band, at least in my opinion, but who am I? I'm here with Torsten.
Nice
Torsten,
to meet you.
How are you doing?
Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you too, sir. And you're going to tell us about your setup here. You have a rather usual setup for some of our rig rundowns with Axe FX, but you're going to show us actually through the computer so we can actually visualize some of this parameters you're using.
Yes.
Before we dive into that pool, let's talk about your guitar you're using.
Yeah, this is a 1968 ES-345. Basically, it's, if I take it out there, it's got a stereo to mono cable with a capacitor in it. You've got the varitone switch on these so you can change your tones radically.
Do you do that a lot?
I do it on a couple of the tracks if I want to get a slightly weaker distortion sound and that kind of stuff. Here I've got this changes it to a single coil for this pickup, which is a Curtis Novak pickup. The original 345 pickup was very boomy. I didn't really like it, so he made a four conductor cable one here and one that's not too boomy, so it sounds kind of nice.
Is it a lot less? When I hear like a neck pickup on a guitar like this, it's sometimes almost woolly, or it almost sounds like it's covered with something.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like that. It sounds, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can, if you want that wooliness, you can come back a little bit that way. So it has that kind of a thinner sound. I suppose it's kind of closer to the Fender Stratocaster whereas a little bit, but it's still obviously very, very different.
Did you gravitate towards that pickup? Obviously the versatility of it, but also I know that you used to play Strats and you dabbled with Les Pauls too.
Yeah, I mean, the Fender Strats were usually better for the clean sounds and the Les Paul very better for the distortion. This one I think is better in both, it does both better for me. Especially with the modifications made. The only one that I have at home in the studio that's probably sounds slightly better is the National Glenwood 1962. It's the only one that I think that has a slightly better sound again than on the clean only, but not on the distortions. Obviously distortion is the original pickup. And I really like it. It just sounds weaker in a nice way than a lot of the pickups that you would get today. A lot of the pickups I find in the latest 335s, they're just so ugly. Even if you hit it, it's just completely aggressive
and like too much output,
way too much output. So this is a very low output. I mean, the only thing that might have less would be a Gretsch or something like that, but to me it sounds really nice. So they would be the, that would be pretty much the guitar. Using Ernie Ball, the heavy tens, I think we're using the red packet.
What about the pick here?
These are Herdem pick plectrums from Germany. I like them because you get the different gauges on it. You get three, the two, and ones. That's your really soft one there if you want to go fast. And three was what I'd use if I was doing kind of picking on arpeggios. And two for the distortions if I'm, you know, hitting it pretty hard. And it's very easy because you can pinpoint the strings very quickly with it as well. So, yeah, I kind of would be mortified if they stopped making it. So
please don't do that.
So don't do that, yeah. Apart from that, we have different tunings every single song, at least for me anyway. A lot of our stuff is kind of, I mean, this one, the first track that we play is Pig Powder, and it's C, G, C, D sharp, G, D, so it really goes down pretty low.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful not to hit it too hard, otherwise it's gonna start going out of tune. So yeah, I mean, you can kind of. Get your different sounds, or I can change it from here, I think.
Yeah.
So you go through the Axe effects here. I think it's this way, is it? Yeah, so you get your slightly different sound. And then your next setting will be for this particular song will be. The different sounds, and then we have on this one, the next part will be.
And are you keying those? Obviously, you're doing it on the computer, so you can show us. But you can key that from the
controller
down there.
Yeah, it's all key from there.
I didn't know if you guys did it like within time.
Yeah, no, I obviously it would be. So this has a kind of a. So it's got a lot of echo. compression pedal down. That's the, it's a sustain, basically, the drone up the track, and Jamie maybe play keyboards or different drones over it. So yeah, that would be pretty much, I'll come back here for a sec. Sorry.
Oh, you're right.
So yeah, so I could just kind of walk you through the effects that's in here.
The one thing I was going to ask is I know you used to run some full tone pedals in conjunction with the XFX, and there looks like on the floor here you got rid of those.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was when you're doing the fly-in shows, you can't take all those pedals with you without causing major problems. So I spent about 6-7 months trying to replicate those pedals. So I had my full tone pedal there, and I would hit it and I'd record it, and then I would tried to get in here with some of the the inbuilt sounds and see if I could replicate them a bit, and I did a pretty good job with a couple of them, which we can walk through in a couple of minutes. Definitely the hardest one was the Big Muff and the Rocket pedal, which are both kind of weird fuzz pedals. Yeah. But I did get it. It just took a long time. Obviously, this is just a clean patch here. I mean, you've got a bit of compressor. I think the amp that we're using on this particular one, let me just see what it is. It's a Brit JM45. Bit of pre-EQ on it, and then you've got a vibrato champlifier mix, which makes its way through a lot of different EQs, and then a different branch of chorus pitch, which creates that kind of I'll just cut off the other effect here. You can just hear the effect on its own, so that's kind of separate, so I'll just put that back. Yeah, and together, you know, you get that. And then obviously there's a reverb here, which I think is the Rich Hall, and a multi-delay up here as well, just to kind of get which is a plexi detune kind of thing. So the basic verse line to that one.
Torsten, you're doing me a big favor. You're going to go through the echoes because that's one of my favorite songs that have done. So you switch it up on the computer. What is the tuning that you're in? And I saw that you put the cable
on. It's just a drop D with the capo.
Okay.
Just on it. That's just the way it was written.
Okay.
So yeah, that's how that works.
And so what do we got here on the signal chain?
Basically, okay, what we've got, an effects loop has been input here with the Rainbow Machine, which kind of warbles the sound, or this particular setting. I mean, it does a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It kind of it sounds like you're kind of bending the string really fast, so that's a big important part to the sound. I try to replicate it, it just can't be done. You can try with a chorus pedal, but it's not the same. It's got two different drives in here. I'll just see if I can get to it here. This first one is a bit crusher. True, really heavy compression, I believe. Yeah, infinite compression, so it sustains the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one's probably just a Big Muff pie fuzz kind of thing. So, and then it goes through, there's a ring mod in there as well, which should be attached. One second, I'll make sure that's hasn't set itself correctly. Hold on.
We're editing on the fly here.
Interesting. It's not actually inputted the way it's supposed to be.
So don't ask me for
help. Let's fix that. So the ring mod is back here. So it's got a lot of sustain. There's probably a pitch shifter on it there as well. Two pitch shifters. One's a chorus. It's octave up, mixed in, not too much. And then we've got a detune left and right stereo to kind of give it that extra bit of chorusy sound.
And this is still going through with the JTM model amp?
No, I think it's a different model, actually. This one is, I have a feeling it could be a high watt. Let me just check. Yeah, it's a high watt, power. Gone through a different cab again, I think. Yeah, it's gone to a basket weave TV mix with my own high watt tone match been inputted into it just to try and make it sound a little bit more the way it was recorded.
I've seen guys use these just for like delays, But you are definitely using the setup to the full capacity, at least to my knowledge. I mean, it's blowing my mind.
Yeah, I think for us, it's just so easy. If you're going to Greece or if you're going to China, you can just plug in and you know it's going to be the sound that you had in the studio. And with our front of house engineer, Edgy, who's always really familiar with the sound, he's able to EQ the system to make sure that it's somewhat representative of what we had in the studio, which without Edgy, it probably, without your own sound engineer, it probably wouldn't be a good idea at all, because you'd be having arguments with the house engineer, saying, you know, dial back the tone, treble. So, I mean, Edgy's a system tech as well, so he's got the lake processors and all that kind of stuff, so it really makes the whole thing possible. Let's put it that way.
Well, I got Jamie, who's sitting over here, waiting. Let me get out of the way and let you guys kind of jam on this, this echoes part.
So,
go ahead and just go for it.
Part of the verse, and we kind of do a few kind of harmony guitar lines like that in a couple of songs. Fragile we do it as well, and Helios Erebus is another one that we do as well. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the extent of it. I mean, I can just show you one or two more sounds and I'd say,
yeah, show us maybe your most radical sound.
Yeah, there's probably I could show you the Goalkeeper one. I'll show you two of them, and then that will probably suffice. Let me see if I can just find. This is Dust to Beyond, which is kind of. Has a different, it simulates feedback and it does kind of feedback with it. One of the most radical ones would be Red Moon Lagoon, so if I can see if I can get that one together. So this one works with a basically the Joco, which is a playback device, sends out a metronome and it kind of messes with the Goalkeeper's internal timing through the syncing in the back. I'll have to see if I can just hook it up. Maybe if you want to freeze it for a second, see if I can get it to do that first. So Joco, which is on an iPad here.
Damn.
Where it controls it, you know, you can.
Yeah.
So playback, select playlist, goat. So that'll send a tempo into this machine, and it can trip it up. It's obviously in time with the different parts of the song, so you'd have to wait a while for the different bits to happen, but we'll just see. And throughout the course of the tracks, it may change like to that kind of stuff, you know, from the metronome. So I had to kind of make it, because if you said it the way it was played, you know, this would have been on 4, that would have been on 2, yeah, that would have been on 6. It's random, so I had to get the metronome to go say so it will start to mess with the Goalkeeper,
man.
You know, So that's pretty much how that one works. There are all the different bits, and obviously Jamie's got a whole lot of different stuff that he can show you. His effects are totally different, I suppose.
We'll get over to Jamie here in a second. Torsten, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, taking the time to talk to us and playing through everything. Jamie, you're up next.
Cool, okay, great.
All right, Jamie already made a cameo earlier with the jam session with Torsten. Now you're actually going to talk to us about your equipment.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you a quick run through. Basically, I'm using a Yamaha. It's from 1985. We actually got it from Jimmy's Music Store, which is a great guitar shop in Dublin. We got it for a steal, and we got it for a lot cheaper than we should have pretty much paid for it, so we weren't really complaining. Basically, I'm more the rhythmic, like Torsten's the lead guitar player in the band. A lot of what I do is more sort of rhythmic.
Okay.
And I'll play, you know, just pretty much standard melody. You know, whenever he's playing a lead line, I'll
just fill it in.
But whatever Niels is playing, I'll play some sort of distortion on top of it. With sort of arpeggiated guitar lines, again, I'll do some harmony lines behind that. But mainly what I do is I'm predominantly like a keyboard player. So what I like to do is kind of play the guitar almost like a piano, kind of like two hands kind of on the...
Did you start? I imagine you started on the piano first and then learned the guitar.
I think I started them around the same time, but I definitely focused slightly more on the keys. So it's been cool to kind of come in and approach the guitar from a more keyboard-based perspective.
Yeah, a fresh approach. You
know? So what I do is a lot of kind of tapping stuff, especially mainly on the new album. You know, towards me playing sort of heavy, sort of chunky rhythm line, I'll just do something like...